Welcome to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager. On the weekend of November 1st through the 3rd, activists from around the country and around the world came to Tucson for Tear Down the Walls National Gathering. Convened by the Alliance for Global Justice, organizers say that the Tear Down the Walls National Gathering would bring multiple movements to strategize and network together on how to build a more unified, powerful movement for transformational change in the United States. Today on 30 Minutes, excerpts from the opening plenary session. Speakers include Barrio Kruger Lane activist Josefina Cardenas, from the San Javier District of the Tohono O'odham Nation, Chairman Austin Nunez, followed by immigrant rights activist Isabel Garcia.
I'd like to introduce Josefina Cardenas. Josefina is a community activist and the president of the Barrio Kruger Lane neighborhood, nestled between the Santa Cruz River and the Sentinel Peak. Barrio Kruger Lane, sorry, it's been a long day, has been called the Tucson neighborhood most threatened by development. It is one of the oldest neighborhoods in North America, having been inhabited and cultivated continuously for at least 4,000 years. We're also very honored to have Chairman Austin Nunez of the San Javier District of the Tohono O'odham Nation. Josefina?
Buenas noches, good evening. After hearing Señor and the story from Mexico, I'm very glad that James and Raquel came to sing because I didn't know what I was going to say after all he has to say of what's going on regarding our brothers and sisters that are so sacred. And it reminds me of this place where we are at now. This has a long story, and maybe you won't be able to find out while you're here, but just to bring you a little up to what happened in the 60s. This was a vibrant barrio neighborhood where families had their neighbors close by and their shopping and their stores, their businesses. And the city, because of progress, they were removed from here. So you could imagine this vibrant barrio and having to leave their home, what it was for them. It was devastating. And it was to build this community center, the TCC. And how significant this place is of that hurt that those families went through. And that's the risk that we have in Barrio Kruger Lane, that's below Sentinel Peak, along the Santa Cruz River. And being these 2 days, today is All Saints Days, I would like to dedicate it to you, because as difficult as this journey, this mission is for you, remember that we're here for a mission, and we all can be saints. We're all saints because we have a purpose in life, and I'm sure that you have that in mind. And then of All Souls Day is because of all those souls that left with that hurt and continue leaving this life with that hurt, that we don't recognize that we're all connected and we're all together. So I give thanks to James and Chuck for letting me have the honor of being here as a native Tucson and born and raised here and have never left Tucson, regardless of its struggle. And I would like to welcome you to Tucson, Xuxon, the original birthplace of Tucson and the name in the Tohono O'odham. And I do not have the right to let you know of what is meant to be here as it is for the Native American community, the Tohono O'odham. So I lower my my position, my humbleness to be able to introduce to you this evening Chairman Austin Nunez, and he is the one that deserves all the respect and glory. Thank you.
Skikodinik, what's it, Jimway? Since I've been taught to come in, what's it, my pehaichu get warm, how much skikodinik? Either Joe de Machihaichu got see haichu, a musicum to wage it, archim all them to worse it arm, mommy haichu, worse it chicken, mate, a chew a hummer. And smash and paham, worse haichu, since I've been taught to put it, the moose to wage it. Good evening. It's my pleasure to welcome all of you to Jukchon. This land that we are sitting upon, standing upon, is very sacred land. It's the land of our forefathers, our ancestors, the Huhukam. And I'm very honored to be here to spend a little bit of time with you to let you know the significance of this whole area, this small part of Mother Earth. And thank you, James, for giving me this opportunity to do so. And thank you, Ms. Josefina, for introducing me. I am Thon Autumn, and our people are, we say that we are come from the Huhukam. The Huhukam flourished in this area from about 800 BC to 1400 AD. And it is through them that we continue to live and survive here. We have always lived in harmony and balance prior to today. And that's the reason for our survival. And there was plenty of water back then to irrigate our crops. When the Spaniards came in the late 1400s, early 1500s, they found our ancestors living along the Santa Cruz River, which we call the Hictan. There was a settlement at present-day Wauk, Sanibir District, and then here at the base of Sentinel Peak, which we refer to as members living in Sanibir as Jukchon. And the reason it's named Jukchon is it's referring to the bottom of to the area at the bottom of Sentinel Peak. From that distance, 7 miles or so, it looks dark, and there was a community of all of them there. And our community was called, the traditional name is called Wauk, place where the water goes back into the ground, referring to the perennial waters that used to flow in the Santa Cruz River. So I know that today I'm very thankful that we're still able to call this place home. And it is our Aboriginal lands that have extended from the Phoenix area south to present-day Puerto Peñasco, and then eastward here for about maybe 50, 75 miles, and then westward another 100, 150 miles. The Main Thon Autumn Nation is geographically separate from the Sanibir District by 40 miles, and today our border, we have a border that we share with Mexico, and it's 75 miles, and we also experience many different things we didn't experience years ago. Years ago, we very much embraced our visitors that came through from the south, our relatives, and we assisted them. But times change, people change, and you know, it's no longer safe to just be trusting people, because we know that there are those negative people out there who are dealing in human trafficking, drug trafficking, and they are preying on our elders on the Main Thon Autumn Nation. So I am very thankful to have all of you here, and I wish you every success as we all move forward together. And I ask Creator God to continue to allow us to make sure that we live in harmony and balance with all of creation, all my relations.
That was Barrio Kruger Lane activist Josefina Cardenas. And from the San Javier District of the Tohono O'odham Nation, Chairman Austin Nunez, speaking at the opening plenary for the Tear Down the Walls National Gathering, which was convened by the Alliance for Global Justice November 1st through the 3rd. Up next, local attorney and immigrants' rights activist Isabel Garcia on 30 Minutes, KXCI, Tucson.
Okay, it's now my chance to introduce Isabel Garcia. Isabel Garcia is a longtime immigrant rights activist. She's the director of the Pima County Public Defender's Office and the co-founder of the Derechos Humanos Coalition, as well as the recipient of Mexico's National Human Rights Award. Isabel Garcia.
Thank you. Good evening. Buenas tardes. I want to make one small correction. I'm the director of the Pima County Legal Defender's Office. If anybody needs to know the distinction, it's just a conflict office. But I want to really thank everybody for being here. Those of you who have come from far to come to Tucson to look at what tearing down the walls means in the context of where we are. In looking at the program, I'm so excited that people are here to talk about education rights, the wars and what we can do to fight the wars, labor and worker rights, economic justice, environmental rights, indigenous people's rights, women's rights, LGBTIQ rights, criminal justice and what we need to do there, prisoner rights, housing rights, health care rights, the whole anti-racism campaigns and what we have to do, the issue of the wars that we have in Latin America, the drug wars, NAFTA, interventions in Latin America. And I'm so excited about all of our work that we are doing in these areas, and how we're going to work to tear down those walls. But before we can tear down those walls, we have to tear down our own walls. We have to tear down those walls to really work in solidarity with one another. Not in silo work, not in, you know, we deal only with the war, but, you know, put the ex-Marines on the border, you know, give me immigration rights, but no, not to gay people, and on and on and on that we know exist within in our own movements. We know that. We know that to be true. And it's understandable. It's not about judging ourselves or all of that. It's about moving forward. Because we live in this society. What else? I mean, it's shocking that we exist, this minority here, given what we live under. And so tonight, I really want to talk about tearing down this wall that some of you may have or maybe not, about understanding the importance of migrant rights, and more in particular, the border. And the border security measures that all of us in one way or another have supported. Large immigrant rights groups right now are mobilizing for horrific bills. Senate Bill 744, we're all supposed to be for it. Maybe some of you are for it too, not understanding what's in it. And so, you know, there's so much to talk about linking our struggles, but we have to understand it first. And here in this border, you have to understand what has happened here and how all of this is not only inhumane, immoral, and we should be ashamed, but also that it is not going to stay here. It has not stayed here. You have seen immigration and border policies already in your communities. We actually began to see it when the Minutemen launched in April of 2005. Some of you will remember that when they launched here, what happened with the massive presence of media that I've never seen in my life to cover the antics of 100, 150 middle-aged white men who came out to act as vigilantes. That message went everywhere across this country, and anti-immigrant PACs were formed all across this country. In the mid-1990s, you know, there's so much to cover, but little time. In the mid-1990s, all of you know what happened. We imposed NAFTA. They sold NAFTA to the public saying NAFTA will solve all the immigration issues we have. They said it. They said it openly. They argued. I questioned the public. Where is your memory? Why don't people ask Senator McCain, didn't you promise? Didn't you guarantee that NAFTA was going to stop all migration? In fact, it was the exact opposite, and we knew it then, and we know it now, and the United Nations has documented that NAFTA has propelled, has expelled 6 million workers in Mexico related to agriculture alone. When the question is, you know, why are you here? We continue to have to say, because we were there, right? Over and over. But this public, does the public know that? No, we don't. We don't. We don't know the history of immigration. If the people in this country knew the history of immigration, we would not be in this human rights crisis that we are experiencing here and elsewhere. We would not. And of course, the histories, other histories, are not known. And that's purposeful, as Chomsky says and others have said. It's very purposeful to keep us ignorant. But when you say we're a nation of immigrants, and of course sort of ignoring the indigenous peoples along this continent, but and then slavery and what we did then, because even those histories are quelched. In Texas, they want to change the curriculum to call it the encounter. In fact, in Washington, D.C., the indigenous museum that's really beautiful, but they call it an encounter, and they want to change slavery to that. And then immigration history, we're a nation of immigrants. Who knows the history of immigration? People do not know. The face of the immigrant, for the most part right now, it's different aspects, but is the Mexican. Do people know the history of immigration of Mexicans here, that we began encouraging Mexicanos to come in the early 1900s? That we purposely engaged, not just our corporate interests that people love to hate and then love, being a capitalist society, but they blame all the corporations are the ones that bring immigrants here. Our government has participated every single time. We even codified it through the Bracero program. So we have had a phenomenon that we have created with Mexico, a push and pull factor that we don't tell the American public, who then the American public says, why do we have 11 million people here? Why can't they stay in their country? Why did they violate our laws? It's over and over. We have a crisis because we're ignorant of the history of immigration. We have a crisis because we're fearful. They have made us fearful. And we have a crisis because we have certain arrogance as Americans. And so we have a crisis here that started really, you know, with Reagan and his, you know, neocon kind of comments about a border and establishing a border, and that's the only way. And then eventually through Clinton, Democrat and Republican administrations both going along the same pattern of militarizing this border to conform with the economic needs, of course, of the corporate elite, who at one time wanted open borders, and now that want to export jobs and pay minuscule wages abroad, wanted to control, and we needed to create a laboratory of hate, and that's what we did in the mid-1990s by funneling migration through Arizona, a very conservative state, fastest growing state, because retirees were coming here, generally meaning very conservative. And lastly, Arizona picked because we had environmental treasures along the border. In other words, few private property owners. We own most of the border, and then the Tohono O'odham Nation that this government has at times, you know, ignored, done different things to Indian nations. I don't need to go into that. The rest of it is the San Pedro riparian area, Buenos Aires Wilderness, Oregon Pipe National Monument, and other environmental treasures we have here. And we funneled people through here knowing we needed 14, 15 years to create a state of hate, division, to create anti-human measures, anti-immigrant, no doubt, but anti-human, because let me tell you, all of these impacts are going to reach all of us. They already have. My daughter, to visit, to bury her aunt in Texas, had to go through humiliating, torturous border patrol checks in her own country, where she is the sixth generation in Tucson. From my mother's side, we are probably in my great-grandmother's, the side of her home that was destroyed for this urban renewal and such. They laughed at her and said, "This is where we stopped Willie Nelson and we caught him with his small amount of drugs." We're all impacted. We're being asked to prove our citizenship. Operation Streamline, which criminalizes immigrants that Javier Cecilia was talking about earlier, we now have a deportation system that is so streamlined, we are deporting 500,000 people a year. And Napolitano promised, and Cecilia Muñoz said, we will continue to deport at least 400,000 people. But you know what? We're going to focus on criminals. What criminals are we talking about? People who are being criminalized every single day in this court and along the border, but especially in this court, criminalizing them for the crimes, the grand crimes, what he talked about, the ofensa of illegal entry and illegal reentry. Two crimes that are the fastest, the felony is the fastest growing felony, representing 60% of all the new federal prosecutions are for immigration violations. The deaths began here at the border in the mid-1990s and really began to grow in the 2000s. People did not die generally with this phenomenon that we've created of migration from Mexico to fill our labor needs. People did not die. They crossed through the same holes in the fence, and now we have thousands of people who have died crossing this border, dying unnecessarily. People that you see healthy in the Mexican side, and they wind up dead. A man here in Tucson who had been here 10 years, five U.S. citizen children, working three jobs, was racially profiled by the county sheriff here, was deported through Calexico, Mexicali, because they have a lot of money to do lateral repatriations. And in trying to come back, he lost his life. He died. This year, we had 182 deaths along the Arizona border alone. Every single year we have more and more death. We are at a 40-year low in migration, and yet the deaths are up. The more we militarize the border, the more we claim we secure the border, the less secure the border is. The more death we have, the more environmental destruction we have. We have the devastation of border communities. We had sister communities, Ambos Nogales. People used to have parades back and forth. All of the border communities have been one community, and we have destroyed that. We've destroyed their economy, we've destroyed cultural, and we've destroyed families. Not only do we have deaths because of policy, and all of us need to feel responsible, we have death by policy in this country. That's what I accused the Mexican government of. They were so aghast at the vigilante shooting, or that vigilantes were acting out. And I said, but where are you with the United States challenging the death by policy that U.S. engages in, right? Not. And so many of us don't feel that responsibility. You read in the paper, people died in the heat. People think that people are dying because of the heat. No, we've always had this heat. But we have pushed people to die. And it was done knowingly. Doris Meisner wrote a memo knowing that people would die. And the more we militarize the border, the more people are going to die. And the less likely we are to grant the basic human right of delivering them to their family, that their family members know. Out of the 182 this year, the calendar years that they use, October to October, the end of September, out of the 182, only 30 have been identified. Tomorrow morning when we do our pilgrimage that we do every year, we're carrying the crosses of 152 desconocidos and desconocidas. What a violation of a human right to have to die unnecessarily in this horrible condition, and to know that your family may never know whatever happened to you. And we have over half of the deaths along this border are unidentified, and people are forming organizations in El Salvador and in Mexico with the sole purpose of trying to find out what happened to my loved one. Here in Arizona, we have the SB 1070 that probably most of you have heard about. It should matter to you, because now that the migration, it is an all-time low, We have over 20,000 agents and then many more ICE agents with a bill that wants to increase them by another 19 to 20,000 Border Patrol agents. Do you really think they're going to stay along this border? Absolutely not. They're intended to go into the interior. And with SB 1070, it mandates that all our state and local and tribal police officers enforce SB 1070. That they enforce SB. What does that mean? That they racially profile, because if you have reasonable suspicion that the person is undocumented, you call the Border Patrol. We have 5,200 Border Patrol agents in the Tucson sector alone, where we used to have 350. So now that migration is at a low, they need bodies to justify. They need numbers to justify those huge numbers of agents. And so they don't have to be at the border anymore. They turn inward, and the Tucson Police Department, the Sheriff Department, will hand him over those bodies. Not only that, they have plans to dramatically increase the cooperation. It's mandating the cooperation of DHS with the Department of Defense, the Department of War. Because let's say what it is. It's the Department of War. We always change the names to you know, now they're not deportations anymore. They're removals. Michael Chertoff and Janet Napolitano can violate over 30 laws designed primarily to protect the environment. They can violate all of those, and they call those waivers. Yet today in court, Javier Cecilia saw the 70 men and women that were criminalized for an illegal act of crossing the border to a tune of $11 to $17 million a month that's paid to CCA alone, Corrections Corporation of America, a private corporation. Very profitable corporation in Arizona. $11 to $17 million a month, and it costs $25 million a month to run the federal court. The Senate Bill 744 wants to dramatically increase those numbers to 210 people a day. Now, some of us may also think, what does that matter to me? Well, the money matters. What else matters? Of course, when you see people chained, in 2013, that you can see people chained in a court, chained, ankles, to waist, to wrist, the entire time. That's why Javier Cecilia was so devastated to see this. So we need to see that immigrant rights are environmental rights. Immigrant rights are labor rights, are women's rights, are LGBTQ rights. We are in this together. I know that I don't have time, but we need to focus on tearing down our own walls in order to tear down the walls that must be torn down for full economic, cultural, and racial justice in this world. Thank you very much.
That was local attorney and immigrant rights activist Isabel Garcia speaking at the opening plenary for the Tear Down the Walls National Gathering, which was convened by the Alliance for Global Justice, November 1st through the 3rd. More information can be found at afjg.org. Thank you for listening to 30 Minutes on 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Amanda Schager.